Welcome to the Divided Kingdom. This is the cutting-edge news program many of you have come to know and trust since 2003. Your co-anchors are Lou Caverly
and Elizabeth Caverly.
We recently had a red flag warning program about global government pandemics possibly being planned. At least that tabletop exercises point that ominous depopulation way. We also discussed SDG 16, Digital Identity Plans. This Sustainable Development Goal 16.9, we remarked, is not a tool to identify you, but is a much more far-reaching kind of digital tracking world enslavement. The WHO Global Pandemic Treaty, with its sinister amendments, was in our crosshairs. Tonight, we begin with a news blitz of NWO evil, humans and organizations, with their recent Gestapo tactics. Then we examine the larger UN global reset patterns, of which they are an eager part. One Health and Dr. Joseph McCullough's essay on how the UN uses COVID, and so much more. Let's kick off this Set Up and Take Notice broadcast that will soon appear on our radio show listening archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com. So, tell others to visit DividedKingdomRadio.com.
Yes, Lou, and the program that you mentioned that we got into so much about the UN and the Global Pandemic Treaty, that was in our last week, and that was the beginning of February, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
January 31st and February 1st. So go to those archives, as Lou said, at DividedKingdomRadio.com.
All right, and
now
you can
we
take
go.
It away.
Yes. First, we have January 30th, Neam Harris Technology in the People's Voice. Elon Musk says Neuralink has implanted wireless brain chip in first human. Tech billionaire Elon Musk has just announced that the first human patient has received an implant from his brain microchip startup Neuralink. In a post on X, and we have to remind you what X is, don't we, Lou?
Yes, we do.
It is the former Twitter.
That's right.
Musk declared, the first human received an implant from Neuralink yesterday and is recovering well. In 2023, the FDA gave Musk's company permission to test the brain chip on humans. TGP reports. The Neuralink founder continued, initial results show promising neuron spike detection. Musk founded Neuralink in 2016 with the aim of creating a connection between the human brain and computers, per Reuters. Elon Musk, Neuralink's billionaire founder, said the first human received an implant from the brain chip startup on Sunday and is recovering well in a post, opens new tab on social media platform X on Monday. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration had given the company clearance last year to conduct its first trial to test its implant on humans. Quote, initial results show promising neuron spike detection, end of quote, Musk added. The startup's PRIME study is a trial for its wireless brain-computer interface to evaluate the safety of the implant and surgical robot. The study will assess the functionality of the interface, which enables people with quadriplegia, or paralysis of all four limbs, to control devices with their thoughts, according to the company's website. Many users on X are extremely skeptical of the new technology and took to X to share how they believe the new tech will usher in an age of transhumanism. And this was from Golgotha, this post, January 29, 2024. The end goal is transhumanism, a society connected via brain-computer interfaces to a god computer, capable of both reading and writing to the brain. Neuralink can already read and write. Deus ex machina. This is Elizabeth. I've often recounted on air how the late documentary filmmaker Aaron Rousseau commented on the Alex Jones show years ago that when he was still friends with Nick Rockefeller, Nick told him that the goal was, quote, to get a brain chip in every human on the planet, end of quote.
And up north of us, Justin Trudeau's Murder, Inc. administration has become unbelievably direct. This is from the People's Voice. Trudeau regime urges stressed Canadians to get euthanized to help save the planet. This appeared January 30th, 2024. The Trudeau regime has urged Canadians who feel stressed or depressed to seek government-assisted suicide as a means to ease the burden on the state and help save the planet. On Monday, Trudeau's health minister, Mark Holland, announced that the controversial medical assistance in dying, or MAID, MAID program, will be expanded to include those who suffer from mild mental illnesses, such as stress or fleeting anxiety. The expansion is set to occur within the next few months. ThePostMillennial.com reports, quote, "We agree with the conclusion that the committee has come to that the system is not ready and more time is required," unquote. Holland said, referring to a report tabled in Parliament regarding whether Canada's health care system was prepared to expand MAID. Remember that MAID stands for Medical Assistance in Dying. He, and this is Mark Holland, acknowledged that the decision was in line with many provinces whose health care officials and mental health professionals have expressed concern over the speed at which MAID has been expanding, and noted that his office would be tabling a parliamentary response in the coming days. A reporter asked, quote, "Is it your intention to still move ahead with MAID for mental illness just within a longer time frame?" "That's correct," Holland replied. And he continued, "There are people who have for decades been trapped in mental torture, being in a horrific situation where they have tried everything and exhausted all avenues, and under their own recognizance are saying that they want access to MAID. What we're saying is that in order for someone in that intractable situation, that eventually they should have that right. But the system needs to be ready, and the system needs to get it right," unquote. When asked what he would say to those who had been waiting for March 17, Holland noted that because the government does not have a timeline, quote, "those individuals are going to have to wait a little longer," unquote, to end their lives. He added that they would, quote, "understand," unquote, that waiting to ensure the system is properly set up is, quote, "a sacrifice we must make," unquote. And then, the same date, the first article appeared, LifeSite News, focused on the opposition to euthanasia forces within Canada. This was also January 30th, 2024. Trudeau government again delays expanding euthanasia for mental illness after pushback. And this is coming from the Euthanasia Prevention Coalition. The Canadian press reported Monday that Federal Health Minister, the Honorable Mark Holland, announced that Canada is not ready to expand the euthanasia law to include those suffering from mental illness alone. But the government has not yet announced how long they intend to delay. Alex Schadenberg, the executive director of the Euthanasia Prevention Coalition, EPC, said that he welcomes the further delay in implementing euthanasia for mental illness, but that EPC will continue to demand that the expansion of euthanasia to people with mental illness not only be delayed, but be stopped. The EPC launched a campaign to stop euthanasia for mental illness. The campaign... Did you have something to say, Elizabeth?
No, go ahead, Lou.
Okay. The campaign includes a rally and media conference on Parliament Hill on February 6th at 11 a.m. local time. A parliamentary postcard campaign has also been launched that states, quote, "I demand that the government reverse its decision to permit MAID for mental illness alone," unquote. Additionally, there's a petition to sign to urge the Justice Minister, and the justice critics to reverse the decision to permit euthanasia for mental illness and to demand that Canadians with mental illness not be abandoned to death by euthanasia. EPC also sent a copy of Tyler Dunlop's book, Therefore Choose Life, My Journey from Hopelessness to Hope, to every member of Parliament. The Canadian press reported Monday that Health Minister Holland said, quote, the Liberal government agrees that more time is needed and agrees with the conclusion of a joint parliamentary committee report released today. The committee's final report, tabled just moments before Holland and Justice Minister Arif Virani appeared on Parliament Hill, says fundamental issues around the expansion have not been resolved. MPs and senators on the committee say it would be, quote, reckless and dangerous, unquote, for the government to allow the scheduled change to take place in March. Justice Minister Arif Virani was reported by the Canadian press as stating that the government is aware of the March 17, 2024 deadline and will have a plan in place. It did not indicate when the new timeline or rules for killing people with mental illness alone will be released. EPC will continue to demand that the Canadian government abandon its plan to permit euthanasia for mental illness.
We're looking at these terrible things going on that indicate globalization is proceeding the way the Pope wanted it to be done, possibly, when he recently asked for this. He called for aiding globalization. And the sad part is that many people, when they are very young, are troubled. And we can see in this other issue of the gender mutilation surgery that it's taking advantage of almost real children. They're hardly older than children. They're sometimes adolescents. Actually, in some of these surgeries, they are younger. They are children. And so this is a terrible thing to seize upon that. Satan wants this, to destroy life, to get rid of their lives, when with patient help, with Christian backing, they could come through this. I remember that when I was younger, much younger, you know, just about 20, I had a troubled period. There had been so much sadness and hopelessness and nihilism in the literature that I had studied. That was one factor. I was uncertain about my coming job. I didn't feel I was prepared to teach French, and I wasn't. I couldn't speak it well. I could translate it, but I wasn't prepared. So there were many things coming down on me, and I had a period of great anxiety, and this didn't last just a month or two either. But you see, I had Christian parents. I had a wonderful minister and his wife talk with me and share with me. And you see, eventually, I moved right on because Jesus Christ is Lord. And God Almighty, well, we have a Canadian listener who says always at the end of his letters, Lou, Yahweh is in control. Yes, yeah. Yahweh is in control. Then you knew me later, Lou, when I had the horrendous physical test of Lyme disease for 18 months. I was too ill every second of the day to even pick up a magazine. That was very hellish. But again, I didn't call up the euthanasia gang to come and get me. No, I'm very fortunate, listeners. I have always had a deterrent. In addition to my Christian faith, I've been afraid. What if I killed myself and I'd be trapped in some kind of a realm that was neither hell nor heaven nor earth? It's a very scary thing, the unknown. So I have a great deterrent. I would never kill myself. But our point here is that we're seeing governments become the active force of Satan. We are beginning to see more depopulation. It is really becoming like the T4 vans of Hitler. And so as we look at these evil parts here that are showing you a preview of what globalism will be if we don't stand up against some of these things like the WHO pandemic treaty and more. So here's more. We have natural news, Mike Adams, January 31st. 12 states sound the alarm. Globalist banks are conspiring with the UN to wipe out U.S. farms and food protection. We're only going to get a brief excerpt of this article. We don't agree with everything else in it. But let's get this important, applicable part. Chicken plant fire in Texas. More food sabotage. A massive fire at Feathercrest Farms in Texas raises suspicions of more food sabotage, as multiple chicken houses burn down, leading to a loss of life for many chickens. This adds to the ongoing concerns about the safety of our food supply chain, as well as the need for individuals to secure their own food supplies through means such as growing their own food or having backup plans in place. U.S. debt spiral. Nassim Taleb's warning. Nassim Taleb, or Taleb, author of Black Swan, warns that the U.S. is facing a death spiral of swelling debt and that only a miracle can reverse the problem. The absolute level of U.S. public debt is now at a, quote, scary number, with the federal debt topping $34 trillion for the first time in history, impacting an average American family of three with debt of approximately $102,000 per family. Unfunded liabilities stand at $212 trillion, or $631,000 per citizen. And I'm going to interject here, Elizabeth, that, Lou, I think I can remember when you and I on the air used to talk about this debt that we really had per citizen being around $28,000.
Oh, I think you're right there. Yes, it has grown by leaps and bounds.
Astounding.
Yeah, but the last two administrations have been spending money like they have an unlimited credit card. It's just up and up and up.
Oh, yes. We're bringing down America. And so this article says, making it clear that the U.S. government is heading towards a collapse that will affect all aspects of life and society. U.S. banks warned about pushing for ESG investing. A dozen Republican state agricultural commissioners have penned a letter to six U.S. mega banks, informing them that pushing for ESG investing may lead to food price increases and impact food availability. They criticize the bank's membership in the United Nations organized group called Net Zero Banking Alliance. Again, that's Net Zero Banking Alliance, NZBA, which aims to finance ambitious climate change. Climate action, potentially harming American farming and ranching operations by promoting an agenda that prioritizes wind turbines and solar panels over energy sources such as diesel fuel. And there's a little bit more to this. This warning from Mike Adams. As these issues continue to unfold, it is clear that the United States and other countries around the world are facing unprecedented challenges in terms of food security, economic stability, and political power dynamics. It is crucial for individuals to stay informed and proactive in securing their own well-being by making smart choices about where they invest their money, how they manage their finances, and what kind of actions they take to ensure their personal safety and security in an increasingly volatile and uncertain world. And I'd like to add there that Lou and I heard a second recent broadcast of Hawk, who is on the Global Star Network and fighting for his life with lung cancer. And please pray for him that God will complete a miracle to keep him here. But he was discussing the intel that possibly our CIA went over to Iran and there were little deals made so that some kind of oil, can still be moving out, and that eventually, you know, they were warned so that nobody will be harmed too much, so that this oil can go to guess who? China. And then, in Hawk's words, it will come back, a nice little rebate, to China Joe. So you see, again, we remember how Assad was blamed for putting nerve gas on his own people, but it turned out the Western powers did it. We've heard a lot of false flags through the years, the Gulf of Tonkin. So if you're listening to this program, you want the facts. You don't want to hear the mainstream Fox, CNN, MSNBC lies. You want what we can gather for you that, to the best of our ability, is the truth. And not all the CIA is bad. You know, I was so shocked, Lou, when I was writing my books, Patriots Warning 1, America Attacked About 9/11, and then Patriots Warning 2, Chaos and Chemtrails, I had some people I fictionalized with fictionalized names, and one was my first cousin's son, who bravely fought in Vietnam. Little did I know that I would find out here in 2024, I had several close relatives actively working in the CIA till very, very recently. And they were good people. My first cousin, Dean Cuppett, was in the CIA, and he's the one who married the beautiful Rockette, from New York, the dancer. And I did not know this. His family rather belittled him at times that he had a drinking problem, and his marriage broke up, and only one of his sons would speak to him. Well, little did I know, till recently, when I saw all the medals Dean had earned by fighting in World War II. It was like Audie Murphy, wasn't it, Lou?
Yes, it was very, very impressive.
Yeah. He would not have been selling out his country. So we appealed to the good part of the CIA. Then I found out I had another first cousin's son who had been there, too. You know, we really are appealing to all Americans, and especially Christian Americans, who do not want to see our country destroyed. You must keep standing up. And Lou, let's move right on.
Now, the next story is from the Daily Mail, by way of national news. We must pay close attention to this very story if we worry another depopulation pandemic is in the works. Again, from National News, February the 2nd, by Cassie B. NIH virus lab in Montana, with links to Wuhan Institute of Virology, found to be carrying out risky virus research.
Why, Lou, you didn't say in the Ukraine and that Putin was outing us that our DOD and our NIH had put operations over there. You said Montana?
Of all places, yes, that's exactly what I said.
In the heartland.
Yes. Daily Mail has obtained exclusive footage from inside a controversial Montana lab in which risky research is being conducted on animals with funding from the U.S. government. The videos and images were obtained via a Freedom of Information Act request, and they show researchers carrying out their experiments, sedating animals such as pigs and monkeys, and injecting them with viruses. In some of the footage, piglets can be seen being kept in unsanitary and crammed cages. The lab in the images is the National Institutes of Health Rocky Mountain Lab in Hamilton, which has found itself at the center of multiple controversies. Last year, Daily Mail exposed the lab's experiments on SARS-like viruses shortly before. Now notice that says before the COVID-19 pandemic broke out. That particular line of research is believed to have ended, but they continue to experiment with other types of deadly pathogens that could create another pandemic. For example, some of their experiments entail injecting monkeys with COVID-19 and pigs with Ebola to study how the animals react to hemorrhagic fever, which entails internal bleeding, vomiting blood, and bleeding from the mouth, nose, and eyes. Documents obtained by the taxpayer watchdog group White Coat Waste Project indicate the scientists from the NIH proposed infecting piglets that are just a few weeks old with the Reston, R-E-S-T-O-N virus, and they have in parentheses R-E-B-O-V, which can cause Ebola, a virus known to have a death rate of as much as 90%. The objective of the experiments is to find out how co-infection with the porcine reproductive and respiratory syndrome virus raises rebuff's severity and transmissibility. In photos, pigs can be seen being infected with the virus in their noses. They were to be euthanized within several days of their infection, so researchers could conduct necropsies. The animals were subjected to horrific symptoms, such as excessive bleeding, vomiting blood, breathing problems, and diarrhea. And researchers said they could not take steps to alleviate their suffering because it could affect their findings. They noted, quote, the illness experienced by animals exposed to these viruses must not be treated with analgesics because treatment will interfere with studying the disease manifestation and ultimate outcomes of infection, unquote. This is Lou speaking. These scientists deserve to be in the hottest part of hell, in my humble opinion. But getting on with this, the senior vice president of the White Coat Waste Project, Justin Goodman, told the Daily Mail that the group's lawsuit has revealed, quote, NIH's dangerous, wasteful, and cruel maximum pain animal experiments with deadly bioagents that have up to 100% kill rates in humans, unquote. He added, taxpayers have a right to know how their money is being spent in barbaric NIH animal labs that can cause a devastating lab leak and pandemic right here in the U.S., unquote. In 2018, researchers from the NIH-infected bats at the lab with a SARS-like virus in a collaboration with the now infamous Wuhan Institute of Virology, which has been identified as a likely source of the COVID-19 virus and was involved in covering up the pandemic's origin. American taxpayer money was used to carry out experiments using coronaviruses from the lab, with 12 Egyptian fruit bats being infected with the WIV1 virus, a coronavirus obtained from the Wuhan Institute of Virology at the Rocky Mountain Lab, while both labs were being funded by the NIH under the leadership of Dr. Anthony Fauci. Several breaches of security protocols were also observed at the Rocky Mountain Lab, such as a mouse infected with an Ebola-like virus roaming outside of its cage for a full day, and an unauthorized child walking around near the lab's primate facility.
Gee, I wonder why that happened.
Don't you wonder? Yes, yes. And finishing up the article, this kind of carelessness has the potential to unleash dangerous biological agents that could spur another pandemic.
Yes, and if you listeners value this program, we could use some support. You can send cash, you can send money orders, you can send a check, and at this time it would be good to make it out to Global Star Communications, or if you prefer, to WWCR, and send it to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, that's P.O. Box 28, and the town is Bethlehem, Maryland, and it is 21609. And we have heard from our first person who has requested one of our new books, COVID and Coming Chaos, and we will be putting it in the mail to him. So if you have heard about this and you would like to have it, you just write to us and ask. And he did put a little contribution in to pay toward the shipping cost. You can or you don't have to right now. This is a pre-selling offer. Later, we probably will put the books up for sale. But we're thrilled that we're beginning to reach people with the truth about the COVID years. And if we don't stop these things, like the global coming WHO pandemic treaty, we will be in for it. We will be under worse tyranny than we're bringing to you tonight. It will be the pharmakia police state, global, the global commons of killing is what it will be. They like to use that term so much, the global commons. We now have a little low-cost housing unit, a great big building going up near us in Maryland, and that's supposed to be for the handicapped people. But, Lou, you noted what about the windows again?
Yes, it is those mysterious windows high up. You can't see anything out of them, the way they're built.
I wonder why that is. And the T4 vans will be able to come. We're not saying all this stuff is sinister yet, but you see, it's in preparation till they give the signal. So here, the people who are starting to be persecuted by Big Pharma and this complex, this military pharma world complex, include, from the Gateway Pundit, Megyn Kelly speaks out on being targeted by Moderna after publicizing her COVID vaccine side effects. This is Jim Hoft, January 31st. In a recent episode of her podcast, journalist Megyn Kelly revealed that pharmaceutical giant Moderna was upset with her for disclosing side effects she experienced after receiving the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine. The Gateway Pundit previously reported that Megyn Kelly opened up about facing a newly discovered autoimmune issue following vaccination. Quote, "I regret getting the vaccine even though I'm a 52-year-old woman because I don't think I needed it," Kelly said during her podcast last year. Quote, "I think it would have been fine. I had got COVID many times, and it was well past when the vaccine was doing what it was supposed to be doing," she added. Her concerns intensified after a routine physical examination revealed an autoimmune issue, a new development for Kelly. She recounted her conversation with a top rheumatologist in New York who acknowledged a possible connection between her vaccination and the subsequent health issues. During an interview with Glenn Greenwald, Kelly delved into an investigation by journalist Li Fang, which purportedly unveiled Moderna's displeasure with her disclosure of the side effects. According to Kelly, Fang's investigation uncovered Moderna's consternation over her public comments about her health post-vaccination. Moderna was very, very upset, among other things, about the fact that I said on this show that after I had gotten my third COVID shot, my booster, which you needed in order to operate in New York to do anything, I developed a positive on an autoimmune test that my general practitioner gave me, she said. Kelly said that Moderna targeted her for amplifying concerns, which could contribute to the growing apprehension about vaccines. She cited other public figures, including Alex Berenson, Russell Brand, Michael Schellenberger, and Dr. J. Bhattacharya, who have also raised questions about the vaccines and have faced similar resistance. Apparently, Moderna attached internally a National Institutes of Health report highlighting a link between the COVID vaccines and autoimmune issues. Now, this is Elizabeth. I have to interrupt here to say that the NIH is still a stealth player, you see. In those internal documents, it was telling the truth that there could be a link between the COVID shots and the autoimmune reaction, you see. And we just don't hear that the gain of function has been outlawed by Congress. Maybe we overlooked that, Lou. At the same time, we didn't really hear those reports of the 100,000 Christian pastors marching on Washington to demand answers about all of this. No, those are fictitious kinds of things in our dreams, Lou, isn't it?
Yeah, so you can hold your breath waiting for any of that to come out.
Not too long. So back to Megyn Kelly. She criticized mainstream media outlets for their compliance with the narrative preferred by Big Pharma, suggesting a reluctance to report on vaccine-related complications. We hope that our new book, COVID and Coming Chaos, will be an historical record of what really went on in those years, 2020 to 2023, those years that included the military campaign to depopulate, to murder people called Operation Warp Speed. And now you think Trump will save you when he gets back into the presidency. And it's just like a person who called us and was so excited, Lou, And now Lou, who has been a devotee of following the JFK assassination for 60 years, she informed Lou that John F. Kennedy and John F. Kennedy Jr. were still alive, and the White Hats were going to save us all. Isn't that right?
That's right, and I didn't know what to say.
Oh, you just immediately called your senators and thanked them for everything they're doing, didn't you?
I did. Now,
in
John F. Kennedy,
again.
JFK, if he was living, would be 106. That's pretty good.
That's really good. Well, let's move right on.
All right. Besides Alex Berenson, Russell Brand, Michael Schellenberger, and Dr. J. Bhattacharya, someone else is talking about COVID vaccine harm, and that's Steve Kirsch. This is from WorldNet Daily. Steve Kirsch, no doubt about it, COVID shots cause dementia. This is by the WorldNet Daily staff, January 30th, 2024. COVID shot skeptic Steve Kirsch has released a Substack report that charges there's no doubt that the COVID shots, quote, cause dementia, unquote. The shots by Pfizer and others were developed at a breathtaking pace with government funding. They were inflicted on the American public without ordinary trials or tests, often by corporate or government mandate, and the side effects, including tens of thousands of deaths, have been mounting ever since. He, meaning Steve Kirsch, explained that he reviewed data on the government's National Vaccine Information Center and confirmed hundreds of cases of the virus, quote, where a symptom is dementia, unquote. He explained, there is no way that you can have a 1,000 times increase in event reports if the COVID vaccine isn't causing this. The CDC simply, quote, forgot, unquote, to warn people about it. Actually, the COVID shots can be described as DNA treatment more accurately than a vaccine. Steve charged, quote, the results are self-explanatory. The COVID vaccines cause dementia. Anyone who tells you a correlation isn't causation should explain the actual cause of this if it wasn't the COVID vaccine, unquote. Kirsch long has been known as a COVID shot skeptic. Online, he's blasted as a, quote, promoter of misinformation about COVID-19 vaccines, unquote. But the critics don't document his misinformation. What they show is he raised questions about the government's talking points about COVID and those shots, which have been known to produce side effects like sudden collapse and death, heart problems, and more. Kirsch's influence comes from his founding of multiple companies and his development of the optical mouse. Even his online detractors concede he's been a prominent philanthropic supporter of medical research. He was censored online multiple times for his questions about the government's COVID-19 mandates.
This has been so important to this point of our program to talk about the depopulation efforts and the evil part of the New World Order's plan. We've just started to allude to where they want to starve us, and we'll have nothing by 2030 and be so grateful. But there is another element, too. This element started a long time ago and, again, was planned by the elite. I recall of Alex Jones years ago, probably around 2004, 2005, talking about the Calhoun Reader. Now, since Lou and I are ex-educators, his field was math, mine was English and reading, it interested me to hear that the Calhoun Reader, and that was a book put out for American children to read, I suppose, it emphasized the end of nationalism, and it demonized the family. So you see, this has been going on a long, long time, but we're now getting down to the wire with this destruction of the biblical family, the biblical man and woman marrying. The worth of children, oh no, we must throw them into the fires of Moloch. So, or we must, in the present situation, send them at age 12 or 13 to have their breasts tied and their testes ripped off. So here we have January 29, 2024, Baxter Dimitri, The People's Voice, EU vows to ban gendered language in everyday speech. The European Union has called for all gendered language to be banned, including completely innocuous sayings such as Joe Public, as well as words such as virile, which it claims are too macho and unfairly only associated with men. Likewise, words which are usually associated with women, such as pushy and shrill, must be outlawed, according to the EU, which has provided a list of acceptable terms to be used as replacements in everyday conversations by compliant citizens. The Telegraph reports that the European Institute for Gender Equality, yes, it really exists, has published a 61-page screed listing the unacceptable gendered language and a list of sensitive alternatives for politically correct speech. Modernity report. The document has been named Toolkit on Gender-Sensitive Communication. Examples of words and terms to be resigned to the dustbin of history include Master of Ceremonies, No Man's Land, Manpower, and Repairman. In EU newspeak, those terms would become Host, Unclaimed Territory, Human Power, and Repairer, while they want the term Joe Public replaced with Average Citizen. Comply, Average Citizen. And here I'm interjecting, this is Elizabeth again. You know, we're not a pastor and his wife on this program. We do witness to Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we urge everyone listening to turn to Him and repent of your sins, and He will accept you into eternal life. So, you see, we're human. We're news reporters. And, you know, at times, any wife would like to see a little macho out of her husband, bad language or not. So after Lou's operation, which, thank God Almighty, was successful, those 3.5 months with the catheter and the worry, what would happen, and then the eventual fine surgery to get out those 6 bladder stones, cutting them out with 3.5 hours. It was really wonderful to have Lou be feeling like a normal person again. But he was told not to do heavy lifting. So we ordered some jars of some marinated mushrooms from the Amish country, but they came by Amazon. So there was a darling little driver drove up from Amazon, and she was just so pert and cute, and that makes our hearts hurt too, because we know all the abortion centers the elite have put in Houston is the largest one, I think. They're all in the black neighborhoods. They're trying to get Margaret Sanger's idea, you see, get rid of the blacks, get rid of the handicapped. It's really terrible. So these things must be brought out to the light. So anyway, this girl had these 3 big boxes all piled up and tried to come up our front steps, and the boxes were sliding. So Lou leaped forward, and I said, he can't lift. He shouldn't lift. He had an operation. And he says, I'll be all right. So he sort of helped a little bit, and then she left. And the boxes were still there, these heavy boxes. And Lou knew he had to go somewhere, and he turned to me, and he says, I don't want you to go effing around with these boxes. And now I sort of laughed inside, because I enjoyed the difference between my language and that of a man when he is a little bit alarmed and doesn't want his wife to be hurt. But, of course, Lou knew that the minute he would go out the door, I'd be into the boxes. And I was. And I had to check each and every jar because they were packed very well with bubble wrap, but there were only 3 packs in a big box so they could roll around. And I thought, oh, I wonder if the seal is okay. But they were. So we were glad. Now, that's just a little human interest story about a real-life husband and wife. But the EU doesn't want this. Satan doesn't want this. No, And back to this article from the People's Voice, the EU also suggests swapping around the words king and queen. So queen comes first. Now, do we see, isn't this the emasculation of mankind, Lou?
Oh, yes. Very much so. And it's just trying to get rid of any difference whatsoever between men and women.
And because they want to disarm you.
They want to disarm you. They also want
you,
depopulation.
You, the men. They want everything to proceed with no man being left to be a man. Isn't that it?
That's it. And no woman to be a woman. It goes both ways. And if they have their way, there won't be many people left in this earth.
And that's their other plan. That's their other plan, isn't it?
That's the
population.
Plan.
So the article says the fundamental problem with this, that is reversing king and queen, is that the reason people put king first is because he's the guy in charge. Now, that's logical, Lou. This is Elizabeth. But we don't go by logic, do we?
No, logic has been tossed out the window.
No, we have an agenda instead of logic. So the article says he was supposedly chosen by God, that's the king, to be the leader. The queen is just the woman he married. She isn't in charge of anything. Swapping around words doesn't change that concept. It just makes you sound a bit stupid. The EU Institute also wants to consign the concept of virility to the scrap heap, reasoning that it is strongly associated with only men and should be replaced by strong or energetic. Now, that's interesting, too. They want to take that out of the whole lexicon, out of the dictionary. So there is no more word that is virility. It would just be strong. And that would be a unisex word, the strong, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It would be one of those words that could fit equally well, men and women. And it would, once again, make an attempt, which I can guarantee would be unsuccessful, to make women not attracted to men, make men not attracted to women, just make them all the same.
That's right. And again, the emasculation factor.
Yes.
So the article says the development comes in the wake of legions of other efforts to police and change language considered to be, quote, insensitive or gendered. And this is a fraud. That's not the real reason. Just like the climate change, the getting rid of the CO2. No, that's not the real reason. It is, again, tyranny, control. They set this up with the Club of Rome. They decided long ago, decades ago, that a good way to control all of us would be to have an environmental issue. So now we're saying that for successful efforts in destruction, both the family, of the family, and of the nation state, the New World Order has to emasculate men. Maybe then American guys will give up their guns. They hope. And the real tragedy, as we look at this, this satanic twisted plan, which also has a component to promote homosexuality, to provide population reduction, it goes a lot deeper than changing the words of our languages. But all of the languages, you see, will be changed, not just English. This is a shocking goal to bring in tyranny and to ruin children and their parents. And this, we're going to get into that, a really shocking case, Lou.
That's right, yes. Elizabeth, the following crime, protected by law, would have been unthinkable in America just a few decades ago. This is again from WorldNet Daily. Child Protective Services kidnaps a girl for gender care, revokes parental custody. This is by WorldNet Daily News Services, January 30th. And it came from the Gateway Pundit originally, written by Jim Hoft. In a controversial and heart-wrenching case, Montana's Child Protective Services has been accused of forcibly transporting a 14-year-old girl from her family in Montana to Wyoming for gender transition treatment, leading to a complete revocation of her parents' custody. The family's media representative, Maddie Watkins, has disclosed a distressing account to the Gateway Pundit involving the Kolstad family of Montana. Todd and Krista Kolstad have been embroiled in a legal and emotional struggle for their 14-year-old daughter after Montana Child Protective Services took drastic action that is tantamount to kidnapping. In April 2023, the Montana legislature passed Senate Bill, that is, State Bill 99, which banned the medical transitioning of minors. However, a series of events unfolded in August that have significantly impacted the Kolstad family. Their daughter was transported to Wyoming, a state with different laws regarding the medical transition of minors, by the Montana CPS, Child Protective Services, for treatment of her sudden onset, quote, gender dysphoria, unquote, despite the parents' expressed disapproval. In August 2023, police informed the Kolstads of a text message from their daughter claiming she was suicidal. They were notified by police that their daughter had allegedly ingested drain cleaner and taken an overdose of ibuprofen. The hospital found no evidence of drain cleaner and ibuprofen, which was later confirmed by a negative toxicology report. Despite this, the girl, who now wished to be called Leo and use male pronouns, was admitted for observation, during which the staff ignored the Kolstad's objections based on their faith and values. Krista said in a video, quote, the hospital continues to call our daughter Leo, even though she's a minor, and after I stated it's against our wishes, our religion, and our core family values. The hospital told me to call their lawyer if I have an issue, as they will do what the patient tells them, unquote. I said to them, going on, according to State Bill 99, they may not, under the law, provide transgender care nor transition our child. Their response was, they are not providing surgery or hormones, so they're operating in the gray area of the law. I further explained that my understanding of the law was a minor is a minor, and there's no difference between a 4-year-old and a 14-year-old, and we prefer she be called by her birth name, unquote. And it goes on, the hospital put our daughter on 24-hour supervision because this was a suicide threat. The hospital placed an aide outside her door who began talking about having top surgery and how she identified as non-binary. I objected and reported as inappropriate to the doctor on duty. Montana CPS and hospital staff consistently dismissed the Kolstad's concerns and authorities' parents. Despite their willingness to provide mental health care, their daughter was eventually transported to Wyoming for treatment. The Kolstads agreed to inpatient care and counseling to address their daughter's historic mental health issues, but expressed concern at the idea of sending her to Wyoming, which has no laws against transitioning children. After a last-minute notification of an available bed in Wyoming, and without the parents' consent, CPS and police presented a court order taking custody of the girl. Communication with their daughter was cut off. Following her transport to Wyoming, the Kolstad's daughter was subjected to social transition measures, like chest binding, and is now under consultation for birth control to halt her menses, actions that align with a model criticized as a fast track from social transition. Quote, on September 27th, the judge temporarily blocked SB 99 pending a lawsuit filed by patients and medical professionals. Since then, she has been given a chest binder, which can restrict breathing, break skin, and bruise or fracture ribs. She is currently in consultation for birth control, menstrual therapy to halt her menstrual cycle, said Watkins. The case takes a further international twist as the Kolstad's daughter may be sent to live with her biological mother in Canada, who has been an absent parent for the past 7 years, and also where Dr. Wallace Wong, a psychiatrist with a controversial stance on treating trans kids in foster care, practices. Wong has previously been quoted as encouraging parents to use drastic measures to shorten wait times for gender transition treatments. Wong wrote, quote. Also in Canada is Dr. Wallace Wong, a perfect example. I'm sorry, Watkins wrote, also in Canada is Dr. Wallace Wong, a perfect example of the risk of malpractice to troubled, sex-confused kids placed in government care. In addition to his private practice, the psychiatrist is responsible for children currently in the care of BC's, that would be British Columbia's, Ministry of Family and Child Development. A court-reported transcript of a talk Wong gave to parents in 2019 shows him bragging about a 125% increase in trans kids in foster care since 2010, bringing the total from 4 to 500. In 2019, there were 5,713 to 6,263 kids in BC foster care, making 7.98% of them trans, compared to 0.33% of the population, according to Statistics Canada. They were closer in line with government data in 2010, when there were 8,264 kids in BC foster care. The four trans kids reported by Wong would come to 0.44%. Wong, who has privileges in California and trains doctors for the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, then scared parents with the lie that trans kids are at greater risk of suicide and coached them on how to manipulate long wait times by having their kids threaten to kill themselves. The Colstead family is currently seeking funds for a private attorney to regain custody of their daughter, and donations are being solicited through a Give, Send, Go campaign. On January 19, 2024, a judge completely revoked the Colstead's custody rights for refusing to support their child's transition, further instructing them to remove an online video detailing their plight. Todd and Krista are now under a gag order with threat of contempt of court for even speaking.
These evil gremlins, something will happen to them eventually. And this breakdown of the family, the parental rights, it's accompanied by a cancel culture that's really beginning to get right into our neighborhoods. The People's Voice, January 30th, Connecticut School District blasted for removing veterans and Columbus Day from holiday calendar. And, of course, this was the Stamford Public Schools. They voted, the board, 5-3 to remove those holidays. So, do we see where we're headed? We're headed toward the fulfillment of the goals in that long-ago Calhoun reader. The end of the family, the end of the nation state. Stay tuned tomorrow night. Much more important things coming, too. Good night.